Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, February 28th, 2013. The setting for Lost and Found Theatre's next play, which opens in a couple of weeks, is just steps away from where the play itself will take place. On the Inside tells the story of the first hanging in the community then known as Berlin and the impact it has on the governor's wife. Well, tonight's guests include On the Inside director Richard Quinnell and actress Christy Ziss. We'll be chatting with them in a few moments, but first let's listen to Never Give Up On You from Jacob Moon's Eventide CD. And now to our interview with Richard Quinnell and Christy Ziss. Good evening, Richard.
Good evening. How are you today?
Fine. And good evening, Christy.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. Now, Christy, Richard's been a guest on Arts Connection before, so I want to start with you and maybe get a little bit of background on you for our listeners. How did you get your start in acting?
I confess it was a production of the musical Lil Abner. I'm not sure anyone does Lil Abner anymore.
I remember
high school, and I just kind of fell in love with it, and it kind of got in the blood, and I couldn't get rid of it. I was heavily involved in theater through my university years, and then did some professional work out in Australia when I lived out there for a time. But then children and a career change kind of came along, and I made a decision to practice law. So I left one form of drama for another, and I practiced law for about a decade, and rehearsing for productions and law just did not coincide at all, so I had to give up one. And it was only when we returned to Canada that I had thought that I would go back to practicing law, but kind of felt myself drawn back into the good old theater world, so I haven't looked back, and I've been doing it now for full-time, really, for the last 5 or 6 years.
Wow. So looking back on that, who have been some of your influences as you've been developing, you know, as an actor before you got into law and even now?
Well, I'd have to say that my first two major, the two directors that I worked with most intently down in New Brunswick, called Windsor Theatre in Sackville, New Brunswick, and those two gentlemen, Alex Fancy and Arthur Motier, were just two terrific directors. One was an English language director and another one was a French language director. So I did quite a lot of work in French in my early years, and they were terrific. But jumping years ahead, I can actually point to Richard Quinnell with us today as a terrific supporter and encourager me over the last 5 or 6 years. And I actually really don't know that I would have made the decision to go back to it full-time the way I have without his encouragement. So right here on radio, Richard, I'm saying thank you.
Thank you.
Well, have there been any actors that you've sort of looked at over the years and not saying you've modeled your style on, but you sort of looked at some of their work and going, I like the way they do that, and how can I get to the same place they were in?
I don't know that. I mean, I would say over, you know, I can sort of name names from years ago in Australia, I suppose, but, you know, I think that I'd have to say that I go to any professional theater production, and I try to let myself be immersed in the story. Obviously, that's why I'm there, but it's really hard not to really intently watch actors on stage and see what they're doing and ask myself, why does this work and why doesn't it? And so I would say I look to anybody, any professional actor I ever see on stage, and to some extent on film, mm-hmm. probably less so. And I think that one of the best training things we can do as actors is to watch other great professionals at work and really, I just find I'm constantly learning and changing and growing. Because I left it, I feel like I, unlike Richard, I don't have decades of constant work behind me in this, so I still in many respects feel like a real newbie mm-hmm. at it. And even in this process, even after one full day of rehearsal, I'm feeling like I'm already going to learn a lot, both from Richard and even from my fellow cast members on this.
Right, and I mean, you're in a good area too. I mean, with the KW area, you've got the Drayton Theatre, you've got Stratford, we've got Toronto. I mean, there's a lot of availability of drama in this area that you can tap into to go to and pull from.
Yeah, for sure.
How did you get involved with Lost and Found?
Well, I think, again, it's been 10 years since we moved back to Canada and to this area. So for the first few years, I was, I was raising some young kids here and kind of getting my footing about being back in Canada and learning out how to be a grown-up in Canada again. And but eventually, Lost and Found was just really starting then. They had just left Theatre and Company, so I felt like I started to see their productions right from the beginning. And next year, it will be 10 years since Lost and Found came together. So with very few exceptions, I think I have seen every Lost and Found production and loved this group. Yeah, I mean, I know it sounds like a cliche, but it really is a dream come true that they have asked me to join this ensemble. And again, I have to point to Richard as being a great influence. He and I had worked together on a project outside, or a couple of projects, I guess, Richard, outside of Lost and Found.
Well, wasn't the first one at the Grandview Baptist Church?
Yes, that's right. So what happened was I was leading all the drama ministry work at Grandview Baptist for several years, and we connected ourselves or forced ourselves upon some terrific people at Theatre and Company. That's right, it was Nicole, Richard's wife, Nicole, and Kathleen. And Nicole had come out to do some training work with us, and then through Nicole we got connected with Richard, and Richard came out and did some work with us. And through all this, of course, I was never missing a Lost and Found production, for sure. And then Richard had done his adaptation of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, and so he approached us wondering if we would like to have a first crack at producing that, so it gave a chance to put his words on the boards, and we were thrilled to do that with him. And yeah, I guess that was the first, wasn't it, Richard?
I believe that was our first major project together.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, and you knew Nicole first.
Yeah.
That's how I got to know you.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, through that as well, myself and others, we took every opportunity to get involved in Lost and Found's training, theater training work, whatever they were offering. So I remember doing a couple of classes with Richard as well. And that was the connection, I guess.
Well, Richard, you're sitting in the director's chair this time.
Yes.
What made you decide to choose to direct?
Oh, I've directed on and off throughout my career, and one of the things that attracted me to the acting community is and the lifestyle was the variety of things that one can do. So after acting for a while, it's nice to take a break and sit on the other side of the table, and there is just different skills that are used. There's a different satisfaction that comes from actually putting everything together, rather than being one of the cogs in the machine. It's nice to be able to sit back and watch how all the cogs are working.
Mm-hmm. Well, so a similar question to what I asked Christy, who have been some of your influences as a director?
Oh, I would say every director that I've ever worked with have influenced me in one way or another to say, okay, this is a great way to talk to actors, and this maybe isn't such a great way to talk to actors. But I think some of my greatest influences would have to be from the Stratford Festival, and the first one that would pop to mind would be Brian Bedford.
Mm-hmm.
I was lucky enough to be directed by him in Equus, and also to be able to perform with him in several different other productions in my years that I was there. Also Peter Donaldson, the late Peter Donaldson. He was a fantastic influence for being able to deal with directors, because he was a fantastic actor, and although I was never directed by him, I worked with him and watched how he worked with directors. He never sat back and just waited for a director to tell him what to do. It was very much a procedure that had both people working at the same time for the same goal, and I really respected that.
Well, what I need to do is take a quick break, and we'll continue our conversation with Lost and Found Theater's Christy Ziss and Richard Quinnell. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget, you set my soul free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Well, no, I'll never forget. I'm singing Jesus, oh, what you done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget, you set my soul free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Well, no, I'll never forget. Done for me, Jesus, I'll never forget. You set my soul free, Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Well, no, I'll never forget. Well, you've been my mother when I was motherless, that's what. You've been my friend when I was friendless, that's what. In my water when I was thirsty, that's what. Well, then you took my feet out the miry clay, and I'll never forget. No.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Jacob Moon's Jesus I'll Never Forget from his Eventide CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Richard Quinnell and Christy Ziss from Lost and Found Theater. Richard, looking at you just sort of said why you were going to act in, direct this play.
Yes.
What led Lost and Found Theater to include On the Inside in this year's production?
Well, Donna Massel is the playwright, and she's a local artist. She's been a supporter of Lost and Found for many, many years. She has written several plays in her past, and I believe she approached our artistic director, Kathleen Sheehy, and showed her the script and said, I've always wanted to have this particular script read out loud. So with the cooperation of Christy, they took it to play to staged readings over the last few years, and Donna continued to work on it. And then it just became the natural next step for us to say, well, we could workshop this play, get it ready for a full production, and that's exactly what we did this time. We've been basically looking at this script for several years, and now its time has come.
So, well, what is it in particular about the story that has attracted you?
Well, for me, what I like about the story is that it's a very local story. It deals with Kitchener back when it was called Berlin, just before the turn of the 20th century. The characters in the play also are very appealing to me because it deals with Victorian standards and the way people dealt with each other back then and the way they dealt with marriage. And it's very different. It's over 100 years, but it's very different than the way we think of things today. And I like the fact that we often really should look at where we came from. Mm-hmm. To know where we are.
Well, Christy, what's your role in the play?
I'm playing the role of Olive McKelvey. She's the wife of the governor. Mm-hmm. And, as Richard says, I've been involved, I've been reading this character. I guess I first was involved in October 2011. We did this play as a staged reading for Kitchener's Culture Days, and we did it in the old jail, so right on the site of the sort of the actual events on which Donna has based her story. So that was kind of neat. And as Richard says, we've workshopped it. We did several play readings last year with it, and then I've been part of the workshopping process. So I feel like I've had Olive in my blood now for quite a while, and it has been this is the first time I have been involved in a role right from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And to be able to play this, be the first person in the whole world to play this in a full production is really great.
Well, what's that been like? I mean, it not often does someone who's involved in the reading element, the workshopping, end up in the production. Did you sort of have to fight for that, or was it just somehow a natural progression that took place?
I know. I feel very fortunate. I'm not sure. I guess they just were just totally desperate or something. I don't know. I happened myself and Zach Parsons are the two cast members that have stayed with the piece from the beginning. And Zach is playing the role of Charles in this production. And we've brought in three different actors. Kathleen Sheehy has been involved from the get-go in one form or another. But now she's actually on stage in the cast playing the role of Maud. So it's terrific to be on stage with Kathleen for me for the first time. That's really great. So yes, I seem to have survived the cut. And I'm thrilled to be able to do this. In fact, this has been an amazing year for me with Lost and Found, having had the opportunity to play Fanny DuBeau in the fall show Caribou Magi. And Fanny and Olive, in many respects, could not be more different. So that's terrific. Although they're both extremely passionate women for different reasons, and are driven by some strong desires and passions. So I guess that's something that links them. So they've both been terrific roles to play.
Now, being involved from the beginning and developing the character as you have, do you think that might create a challenge as you go into rehearsals now and say if Richard has a slightly different vision as to where the character should be going? Is that going to be a challenge for you to follow that?
Yeah, I suspect it will, and I'm trying to make sure I stay open to that because it's true. One thing, though, that has changed is the script has evolved and over the course of the last year, and I have read many different iterations of this script. So as the script has evolved, you know, at her core, Olive has not changed, but certain things have been clarified or certain things have been illustrated more heavily or something. So you have a different sense of her as you move through the process. But yeah, I think for me, I tend to be. Richard won't disagree when he says, sometimes I tend to overthink things, and sometimes I tend to, I guess I come in and I sort of think, surely this is the way this is supposed to be. And so for me as an actor, generally, the challenge is always to try and stay open, and to stay open in the moment, and to receive what the other actor on stage is giving me. I want to stay as open as possible, and even after yesterday, I'm convinced that it's going to be a really great process, and I have no doubt that Richard will be the first to step in and tell me if I'm being a bit too rigid in my approach, I guess.
Yeah.
Richard,
common
what do you think?
Challenge for all actors that even when they're doing the same role in a different production. I've got a lot of experience with that, where I'll get cast in the same role of in a different production of the same play, but the director's vision is very different than the initial director's vision was for that play. So that character has to change.
Mm-hmm.
You just pay attention to that and be open to that in the rehearsal procedure, listening to your partners on stage, and it will all come out. It'll all work out.
Right. One of the things, Richard, you mentioned about the whole setting and the fact that one of the original readings was done in the courthouse in the area, and that whole setting is it's the Waterloo County Jail and the Governor's House, which are just like steps away from where Registry Theater, which is sort of your playhouse of choice. Has this had an impact on the way you thought about the play and the way you're looking at directing it?
Well, it did initially because we really wanted to, as much as possible, have an accurate representation of what the Governor's House looked like, because people could then go to the Governor's House and see it.
Right.
But as is always the case with things like this is not an accurate historical reproduction. This is a story based on a historical event. But we have to take artistic license with a lot of things, not only in the telling of the story, but also in the staging of it. So we found pretty quickly that it worked better not worrying too much about exactly what the Governor's House looked like,
mm-hmm.
But what it does do for us is it really, I think, draws people in to the history of their town, and it makes it more alive. It makes it more immediate, particularly, as you point out, when the Registry Theater is steps away from the very house in which this took place. And I do think that it makes it more real to people that these are not just historical figures are not just names on a page, but this really happened.
Well, to bring up something Chrissy mentioned, with Caribou Magic, we know Barkerville. You know, people may have heard of Barkerville, may know about the caribou, and that. That's not as immediate in people's minds, where, like you're saying, now it's Berlin, it's the governor's house, it's, you know, you can walk out. In fact, some people probably walk past it to get to their cars where they've parked.
Yes, they can look up and see where the gallows were, where this young man was hung back in 1897.
Yeah. Now, are you and the cast going to go through it to take a look at things, or are you just going to leave that and focus on how you're staging it?
I think I'm going to leave that and focus on how we're staging it, because I don't want things to get confused. But I know that Christy and Kathleen already have been in the governor's mansion.
Right.
And they bring a lot of that realism to the play, to say this is how it would be, and this is what the feel is like, and then we try and replicate that as much as possible, mm-hmm. without worrying about the nitty-gritty details that don't necessarily tell the story.
Right. Well, what I need to do is take one final break, and we'll come back and we'll wrap up our conversation with Christy Ziss and Richard Quinnell from Lost and Found Theater. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
Dragons are gonna fly tonight. They're circling low and inside tonight. It's another round in the losing fight. Out along the great divide tonight. We are aging soldiers in an ancient war, seeking out some half-remembered shore. We drink our fill, but still we thirst for more. Asking if there's no heaven, what is this hunger for? Our path is worn, our feet are poorly. We lift up our prayer against the odds, and fear that silence is the voice of God, of God, of God. And we cry.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to The Pearl from the Eventide CD by Jacob Moon. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with Lost and Found Theater's Richard Quinnell and Christy Ziss. Richard, I just want to shift gears slightly. There was sort of a little bit of a threat to On the Inside that it might not have been staged because the sort of a little bit of a financial crisis you guys are facing.
Yes, it's a common thing that all artistic organizations have challenges when it comes to their financing, and as you can well imagine, our finances are necessitated on donations from private people and from the government, and when we go through an economic challenge in the country or in the province. The artistic community usually is the first one to feel that as our donations go down, so then does our bank account. Now it wasn't as bad, I think, as some people made it out to be. Some of the funding that we were looking for was in our ever struggle to become self-sustaining. and become the a professional theater company in the area that can do it as a full-time profession. Right now, basically everybody that is involved in Lost and Found does it for their passion on the side, as they're also pursuing their work and making their money, making their living elsewhere. So some of the donations that we were looking for were in hopes of extending that so that we can offer even more theater, more shows per year in a more regular basis in the Waterloo area. But yes, we were having a funding challenge, and as we sometimes will do, we put it out to the community to say we are in need of funds in order to continue. And as they have every time, the community, when they hear our plea, step up and help us out, and then we are able to continue.
Mm-hmm. There's just something about live performance that you can't beat.
Absolutely. I've never seen somebody stand up in their living room and applaud the television, but I see it all the time in our shows.
Yep. Well, Christy, just as we're finishing up here, can you give us some details on the inside, when it's going to take place, and how people can get more information about it and even tickets?
Absolutely. We open on March 14th. That's the Thursday of March break, if someone needs to put that in perspective. So we open March 14th, and we run until the 23rd of March. So it's only a two-week run, so a limited number of opportunities to see the show. We have a website, lostandfoundtheater.ca. You can buy tickets directly online, nice and easy, or there is a box office number on the website that you can call. And you can still get tickets straight through Center in the Square's box office as well.
Great. Well, Christy, Richard, thank you for your time tonight.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection tonight. And thank you to my guests, Christy Ziss and Richard Quinnell. Be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries.ca. That's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca. Or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.